Now, we've been talking about that good measure, but how many of you know that you can get stuck right there if you let things creep in your heart, like unforgiveness? See, unforgiveness can be very sneaky. You'd be amazed how you don't forgive little things. It's not the outrageous stuff that people do to you that we have our hardest problem getting over. It's that little stuff that creep up day after day where people just annoy you. And if you're not careful, you'll walk in unforgiveness. And it will block your ability to receive. Because some people just look like they were planted to be an annoyance. You ever been on a job where it was somebody always trying to irk you? You got to understand why they're trying to stop your blessing. They're trying to keep you out of the flow. And then have you ever met someone that could remember every negative event that happened to them, even though it happened 20 years ago, as though it happened yesterday? See, these things creep up like that because they are designed to make you come away from your place of victory. And you got to be aware of them. So unforgiveness binds you to tormenting cords of bitterness. Man, you'd be surprised how bitter you become. And you'd be bitter against people, situations. And you don't even realize you're bitter. But then you get so that where you act just like they're acting. Because now you don't want to be bothered with them. You don't want to be around them. You don't even want to speak to them. The devil got you in a cord. Because he know that you cannot increase with unforgiveness. This is why the Bible tells us to put a watch over our mouths. Guard our hearts with all diligence. Because out of that flows the issues of life. From you come all the things that you're going to ever receive from God. Look at Matthew. I think where I want to go is Matthew 18 first. Matthew 18. I think that's where I want to go. Verse 23. Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at Matthew 5. Let's go to Matthew 5. I think that's where I want to start first. Just turn over a few pages and you'll be all right. Matthew 5, look at verse 23. There it is. Well, we can start with verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, who's talking? Jesus said that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell, fire. Whoa. He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and remember that thy brother has an ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. Now, he's talking about brethren to brethren now. He's talking about how you handle one another in the body of Christ. How many of you know in the body of Christ, y'all can have some issues? And we just kind of sweep them under the rug. We're functioning, but we're dysfunctional. He says, if you remember they got an ought. Now, how many of you know that once you've gone to a person and you try to reconcile and they're not willing to do that, that's no longer your issue. And you don't run behind that camel. You don't have to see, because what it'll put you in a position where you begin to condescend from your righteous position, trying to chase them, trying to make sure they're okay. That's not your job. Your job is to make sure that there's nothing standing between you and God and that person in your heart. But what we do, we overkill it. You know what I'm saying? Because we start chasing people. And then we lower our standards to get along with them. Can't do that. Those are the kind of things the devil trick us up with that block our increase. And I'm determined to increase this year. I'm telling you. I'm looking for some things to be done in my life suddenly. And I got a lot of seed in the ground. I ain't got time for none of this shenanigans. See, when you understand the purpose for distractions, you should handle them better. Because they to draw you away from your increase. He says, leave your gift before the altar and go that way. First be reconciled to that brother, and then come, and after, then you submit your or offer your gift. So we see that if you choose to live that way and you won't walk in forgiveness, the Bible talks about you being turned over to a tormenting spirit. How many of you know debt is a tormenting spirit? Now you're talking about something where you got to walk in forgiveness. Some of you need to forgive yourself for some of the debt you made, because you keep yourself under the load of it. And you're stopping your own increase. I know I shouldn't have done that. Now here we got that. I'm so tired of this bill. I'm doing this and doing that, you know. But see, your complaining is not helping your situation. Forgive yourself. That's the only way you're going to get out of the debt. Ooh, Jesus. See, forgiveness is crucial, because you need to forgive yourself. A lot of you made debt without God's counsel. Now you're in it. How he going to help you? You can't keep complaining about it. It cannot be your daily or monthly discussion. You got to say, you know what? God is working this. God is working it out. And you got to have something that says that God is in this thing with you. Otherwise, you're going to plant yourself and you're going to stay right there. And you'll be trying to pay that bill, and it'll be the one bill that you got to pay and be hard to pay it. Because your words coming after that. See, forgiveness is crucial. And just when you think you're getting ahead, something happens. That stuff you've been paying all that money a month for, how many of you know it'll break down on you? Because you're not saying what is right towards it. My daughter helped me with I had a Gen Air stove. I still have Gen Air. In my kitchen, it's a flat top. I'm not crazy about it. Didn't like it when we bought the house. But it's in there. And we didn't take time to change it out, because the plan was to redo the whole kitchen. And in the course of redoing the kitchen, I would get rid of the Gen Air. Now, Gen Air is a good stove, don't get me wrong. But I had to confess, because I didn't like it, I had to confess something different about it. And I said, my stuff lasts longer than the normal time. Well, recently, one side, because they got like what they call cartridges in them, and you can pull the cartridge out and put another one in. One side went out, so I only had one working with two burners. How many of you know that's not good for a cook? And I got all kind of gadgets, but I don't feel like pulling the gadget out when I got the stove. But anyway, I was going to replace the whole stove, which would cost me right around $2,000-some. Casey said, Mama, see, this is why you got to be open. But the thing, and I didn't realize the stove was more than 30 years old. So it's about time for it to go. It should, according to all the stats on it, it should have died at 20 years. But how many of you know? Because I changed how I looked at that stove. And I began to say something different about it, because I did not like it. It lasted 10 years longer than it should have lasted. But at some point, you know it's going to go away, right? And then Casey called me. She said, Mama, did you thought about replacing the cartridge instead of the whole stove? I'm going like, duh, no. Because in my mind, just get rid of it. But let me tell you how good God is. She said, well, Mama, until you're ready to renovate your kitchen, don't put another stove in there. Change the cartridges. And, you know, and they were kind of like a grayish color. I didn't like that, because my kitchen is black, red, and gold. And she found the cartridges that were black. sitting on that, I'm going like, oh, girl, you're right. But for less than $500, I got my stove back on. Now, y'all can talk, you can act like you want to act like you want to. But see, God looks out for those who walk in forgiveness and that walk in love. God will look out for you. I'm telling you. See, I don't have to share this stuff with you, but I'm telling you, if you put God in everything, God will manifest in everything. Because that's his whole idea. See, that's the plan of God. And I mean, so just when you think you're getting ahead, something happened, that car break down, and you don't have any money to fix it. See, that's a tormented spirit that's chasing you. So you need to watch what you're doing. Come on, stand to your feet.